We left church on Friday in a very somber way. We arrived here today and we rejoiced as we walked in. What happened to change all of that? Well, the cry of dereliction that we read in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me, spoken on the cross, was superseded by the end of the psalm. We've spoken of this a couple of times in the past couple of sermons. And the last words on the lips of Christ was, "It is finished." And those are the last words of the psalm. But as we read Psalm 22, we've not only got the somberness, the sobriety of the crucifixion, we've got the joy of the resurrection. Jesus was crucified, but now he's risen. So if you cast your gaze down to Psalm 22, verse 24, "For God has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. God has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for mercy and cry for help." That's really great news. It's wonderful news that we would want to share with one another. Imagine what it would be like for blind Bartimaeus to have his sight restored and to be able to see not just vague shapes, but to be able to see crystal clear every outline, every color, every detail that he had never been able to see before. If you've seen any videos of a person receiving sight for the first time they've never seen, but the optometrist or ophthalmologist have done some work on their eyes, and for the first time they see, it's just this overload of information. And such good news would be told to everybody. You'd love to share what you see. Even when I saw a video on YouTube for the first time of a child being able to see and he's never seen before, his face lights up. And I shared that with everybody. I said, "Look at this good news. This boy who was not able to see before now can see." Now, if I can share that, and as magnificent as it would have been for Bartimaeus to see his sight, or for the lame to walk, or for the deaf to hear, or whatever it was, imagine how much more we should be excited about the resurrection of Jesus. And yet we don't share it. You see, that's the real good news. The real good news is not somebody was blind but now they see, somebody was deaf but now they can hear. Somebody was dead and now he's raised again. And that really is good news. And the Father is still working through death to life to bring us to eternal life. So to start off with, there's this individual praise. Let me call it individual praise. Look at verse 22. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. There was the cry of Jesus, "Why have you forsaken me?" And God listened and God heard him and raised him from the dead. Remember Mary outside the tomb. The gardener comes up and says, "Why are you looking for the dead among the living? Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" That was a one-on-one contact. It was a one-on-one contact as Jesus came to the two walking on the Emmaus Road. They had in their minds, they were discussing on the way home, a 12-kilometer journey, everything that was going on. Their minds were just swirling. On Friday he was dead, on Sunday he's not there. And then Jesus comes and walks with them. Didn't know it was Jesus. Their eyes were kept from seeing that it was Jesus. But this is the conversation. "Jesus, what are you discussing as you walk along?" The two stood still, their faces downcast. "Cleopas, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "Jesus, what things?" he asked. "Cleopas, about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, a powerful in word and deed before God and before the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since this all took place. Rather than just somebody being able to see again, Jesus raises the bar. And here these guys are walking back, and they didn't expect Jesus to be raised from the dead, and they didn't expect to see Jesus with him. But as we said, the death we die once so that we never die again. And Jesus shows them from the scriptures how everything had to be fulfilled. Now, how long would it take Jesus to go one by one to each of those people? He shared with Mary and the other Mary and the three ladies who came to embalm him. And now he shared it to the two on the way to Emmaus. How long would it take for the gospel to be spread? And so, in front of the kids this morning, I'm going to have some dominoes. I'm going to put them up one at a time, far away from each other. And they're going to have to hit them one at a time. But can you imagine, when we share stories, imagine sharing a story to a group of people. You've got exciting news, you want to tell the whole family, and they say, what is it, what is it? And you say, wait till everyone is here. I'm not going to repeat the story 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 times. I'm not going to go through the resurrection story 18 times. Wait till everybody's come. Then we'll tell everybody. So the two are walking to from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And Jesus shares a meal with them and he breaks bread. And suddenly they realize that the stranger is Jesus. And having walked 12 Ks back home in the afternoon, they ran back 12 Ks to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what they had seen. Jesus has been delivered from the clutches of death. And so, Psalm 22, verse 22 says, I will declare your name to my brothers, the congregation. In the congregation, I will praise you. There's individual praise from Mary when she's standing, and there's the gardener. And the gardener speaks to her and says, Mary. And she recognizes the way that Jesus says Mary. And she turns to him and she says, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus' words were, go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. So in this whole process, Jesus is saying, don't keep this secret to yourself. Go out and tell other people. But how long will it take if we take it one at a time and we try to knock down 200 dominoes? These people are so excited that if they don't tell somebody, they're literally going to pop. A Sunday school child who gets fudge, and they absolutely love fudge, from their Sunday school teacher. First thing, when mom goes out the door, they're going to say, Mom, Mom, I got some fudge. What's the matter that we think that we can keep this whole story of eternal life from the people around us? God has not despised the suffering of the afflicted one. He listened to the cry of his son. And the people who are there say, I will declare your praise. So on Easter Day, we celebrate with the psalmist, God as the deliverer. And from just one person, it now spreads out praise in the assembly. So if you look down at verses 25 and 26, from you comes my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. So just there, we've got this spreading out to a group of people at once. We can't get excited about the things of the Lord by ourselves. Let me just suggest for a moment that if you weren't here today, you might be lying in bed, catching up on a little bit of well-earned rest. But you wouldn't be singing praises. You probably wouldn't be necessarily reading the scriptures or listening to a sermon. You wouldn't be gathering, certainly wouldn't be gathering with God's people, worshipping him because Jesus has been raised from the dead. You can't go it alone. I knew some people who were caught up in a cult. And strangely enough, this cult asked me to go and preach to them. And I got to know the whole congregation. I was happy to preach at a cult service. They were just coming out of a phase in which they were discovering the word of God for themselves. And they asked a number of evangelical ministers to go and preach to them. But the sad part about it is that when they came to know Jesus, they escaped from the cults. It was so rigid that if they had stripes on their tie, because they all wore ties, there had to be even stripes all the way up their ties. You weren't allowed to wear, it was preferable to have a single colored tie, but even stripes, you weren't allowed dots like I've got. That's how rigid that cult was. Everything was laid down. And once they heard the good news of Jesus Christ, that you were no longer bound by law, they went right to the other side. A number of them became drunkards because they were no longer bound by the law of the cult. They threw everything out just because they said, well, we don't have to do that in order to become a Christian. I can drink as much as I want if I'm a Christian. We're no longer bound by the society which we adhered to. Now, I know a couple of them, they're still very good people. A number of them still have noble acts and selfless worship. But how much better would it have been if they had listened to the whole Bible? The words of Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as the day of the Lord approaches. As I was reading that passage, I don't know if you noticed, but there's no segregation in the assembly. God calls people to worship, both the poor and the rich. The poor aren't left off the invitation list, and the rich are not invited more rigorously. There are Jews, there are Greeks. In the words of Psalm 22, verses 26 and 27, the poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. What a wonderful message it is that we don't have to be in a certain group or a certain class of people or a certain income bracket or live in a certain area or live under a certain government or regime. Anyone who hungers and thirsts after Christ will be filled. If you search for him with all your heart, you will find eternal life. The kingdom of God doesn't belong to the church. It doesn't belong to people. It belongs to the Savior who purchased it with his own blood. How vital is it that every generation hears about this? And so at this point, in my talk, I'm going to have a number of cassette tapes, video cassette tapes. Because I've got about 600,000 of them, I might as well use them for some good purpose, seeing as I'm not allowed to use my video recorder anymore. So I'm going to put those up, domino style, and I'm going to say, okay, in the same time that you pushed over one domino at a time, what about this? And I'm going to let them all go. If I've just got three lines running down, we'll see how quickly it gets to the end. And we'll see that's far more effective if one person speaks to two people and two people speak to another person each, and we'll see how that works its way out. You see, the great lesson is that we're not entitled to keep this message for ourselves. I find it shocking that some Christian parents opt not to encourage their children to go to a Bible-believing church because they say, well, our children need to make up their own minds for themselves. We'll let them decide when they are of age to do so. If that worked out in the secular realm, as parents think it should work out in the spiritual realm, I would be uneducated today. I hated school from the time I first stepped into primary school. Not just disliked it, I hated it. I ran home just about every day if they let me loose. The teacher used to lock the classroom door for Stimson. That's how much I hated school. Now, my parents never gave me a choice and said, oh, well, John, don't worry about it, it's your choice. We'll find something for you to do. And yet parents are prepared to do that with children. And I think that shock on your face ought to reflect something, because that's the generation we're growing up with today. My parents forced me to go to church, even though I might have hated church and never wanted to go there again. It's a risk they took, because just as much as they didn't want me to be uneducated in the secular realm, they didn't want me to make up my mind in the spiritual realm without solid evidence. How else would families bow down before the Lord? And that's what Psalm 22 says. Families will bow down. Now, based on the good news, there's not just individual praise, there's not just in the assembly, there's praise in the world. And at this point, I'm going to have, because I've got about 30,000 cassette tapes, a whole realm of cassette tapes set up. And they're going to be branching off in all different directions. Fortunately, I've got Dylan set up to put it together for me, because I don't know that I'm going to get this right. And it's going to go all different directions, and one child is going to push it, and it's going to spread out to the whole world. Imagine if you told two people, and two people tell another two people, and those two people tell another two people. Imagine if that was the progress of the gospel, as we gossiped the gospel to everybody that we knew. Imagine if we had that good news that Jesus is alive. He's no longer dead. I've seen him. You wouldn't be able to keep it to yourself. You would tell everybody. And the children who are yet unborn will hear the fantastic news that Jesus died. Look down at verse 30 and 31. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to people yet unborn. So how did the gospel spread so quickly? You don't have to wait for one person to hear, one person to accept the gospel, and then pass it on to another person. And that person might not understand, might not know, and you don't wait for another person. You look at those dominoes with multiple tracks. And people spoke to everyone they saw about the wonderful news of the things that had happened. So Matthew 28 verse 10, the woman were told, do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers in Galilee and they will see me. When the two disciples, Peter and John, ran back to the upper room, they confirmed to the rest of the disciples everything that they had seen. When the two on the Emmaus road had run back 12 k's to Jerusalem, they said, we've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, Psalm 22 verses 27 and 28 was fulfilled. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over nations. Like the dominoes, like the videotapes, the news spread throughout the world. Jesus commanded the disciples to take good news, otherwise known as the gospel, to all the ends of the earth. That's a wonderful declaration. What he promised to Abraham and to his descendants, that I will be your God, you will be my people, was now extended to every tribe, nation, language, and tongue, because God promised Abraham that from you, all nations of the world would be blessed. And so the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5 verse 9, speaking of the work of Jesus on the cross, says, with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Every knee will bow. Whether they've come to Christ or not, The difference is that if they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they will bow the knee out of servile submission. Much the same as the wicked angels. There's no hope for the wicked angels. But even the demons believe and shudder. They need to worship God. Just as much as demons recognize Jesus and it frightened them, so there will be a day when every single human being in all of history, down through every age and every nation, tribe, language and tongue, will bow the knee. Either because they've confessed Christ willingly and they are with him, or they will bow the knee in servitude and proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Today is the day, while we still have the opportunity to come to Jesus, the risen Lord. Predicted through Psalm 22, we see the plan of God spreading through all the nations. I was going to end with that first slide. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It is finished. God has done it. Let's pray. Loving Father, what an absolute pleasure, what a privilege, what an honor to live for you, to worship you, to thank you, to see your greatness expressed in a magnificent way before us. Thank you so much that there can be no greater power than the power that raises Jesus Christ from the dead. And for this we give you our thanks today. Would you receive the glory, the honor, the praise, everything that is due your name? For because of you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Would you use us to tell others of the great news of Jesus? For we ask this in his name. Amen.